change. Who doesn't want that? I know when I came to Christ, having had a background of addiction to all kinds of deadly things, it was one of the most baffling things in the world. And I even heard believers telling me that, well, you know, everybody has their things that, you know, are never going to change. And I just couldn't settle for that. I just believed that if God could make a dead man live, he could definitely make a living man new. And I found out about what it meant to believe in the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I'm Aaron Clark in for Spirit and Truth Christian Church, and this week that is exactly what we're talking about. I apologize up front for the low quality of the recording, but it is definitely audible. God bless you as you listen.
Really, this message at the end of the day is hopefully to bring us all to a place of saying, you know what? I am going to stop fretting over where I am, over what I don't have. I'm going to stop fretting over what the future holds for me, and I'm going to start trusting in the transforming power of God to make me what he wants me to be. And so if we just look back over what we talked about so far this month, it's being empowered from above. So, and we kind of laid the foundation with this reality of the Spirit of God coming from above. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, God in the Spirit coming down to do in us and through us what nobody else could do. And then we went to the question that might make you wonder, am I eligible? And we talked about what makes us eligible for this power, and that is simply, you got to believe in the gospel. It's real simple. What makes me eligible is my faith. And then we said, okay, well, if I got the power, I'm eligible for it because Jesus died for me. He said, I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. He's going to teach you all things that you need to know. He's going to remind you of what I said. He's going to comfort you. Don't worry about what you're going to say in any given time. He'll give you the words in that moment. Just stop worrying and go. And it was so important, but and this receiving of the Holy Spirit was so important that Jesus actually told them, okay, you believe me, you see, you have witnessed the resurrection, but before you go, wait until you receive power from on high. And then we said, wow, this power is great, but some of us are still walking around bound up. And that's where we left off last week with being loosed by the power of God. And we showed the example of Lazarus, even though Lazarus being a dead man in a grave that was sealed, that Jesus Christ spoke the word and he was loosed from death and walked out, but was still bound up in grave clothes. And we talked about what those grave clothes could be. And that even though he was bound up in grave clothes, that it still took the words of Jesus to say, loose him and let him go. And those grave clothes came right off him. And so this week, we're going to take a step further from there. Now, I've been born again by the power of God, by his word. I've been born again, no question about it. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in his life. I believe in the testimony of all those that lived with him. I believe that he died. I believe that he was in the grave for 3 days, and on the third day he was raised from the dead by the Spirit of our Father, that he walked away, that he was seen by more than 500 witnesses, that he then ascended into heaven and seats at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for me, and that one day he will return for me. I believe that. And the Bible says when you trust in the redemptive power of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, he seals you with the Holy Spirit, a promise. But then we walk away. Now we're walking away. And some of us are still dealing with the idea of what's going to be next. What do I do now? And so I'm going to read to you a scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And this is a scripture. I'm turning to it to read it, but I know it by heart. And if you need to turn there, go ahead. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." We all, with open face, as beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So he is actually telling us in this scripture, he's saying, listen, you are going to change. You've already experienced a miraculous change by believing in Jesus Christ. You've already gone from darkness to light, miraculously. You've already gone from death to life, miraculously. You've already gone from doomed to redeemed, miraculously. You've already gone from a sinner to a saint, miraculously. That's already happened. And just as Lazarus walked out of the grave and went from death to life and was loosed from those clothes, he said, now you're looking at how are you going to change? Because many of us, even though we know the Spirit of God is working in us, we're not thinking the same way. Our mind is on good things. We want to serve God now when we didn't want to serve God. We want to do what's right now when we didn't want to do what's right. But at the same time, the road ahead looks like, man, because I still got these issues. I'm still struggling. I'm still weak at some point. Some points I'm still falling in. Some things I'm bound up still. And so we're talking about the transforming power of the Spirit. Transform. That literally means that you're going to change from one thing to a completely different thing. It doesn't mean you're going to be slightly altered. It doesn't mean you're going to become a better you. You're going to become a totally different person. Totally different person. Notice what Brother Andrew said. He said, man, talking to people, grabbing the mic, speaking out, community and all of that stuff, that was nowhere on my list of things to do in life. But he is a totally different person. And he says that we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed. And that word change right there, it literally means to be transformed, transfigured, an egg to a chicken. It's not the same. And so this is a very overlooked promise. The Holy Spirit as that agent. We call him Agent Destiny. He's the one that's going to get you there. But I want you to know that you wouldn't be the first one to completely overlook this. In Acts chapter 19, if you want to turn there, starting at verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus." And everybody know where Ephesus is. Everybody knows. You read the book of Ephesians, it's just a few chapters, rich, powerful, encouraging. It's like, this is so deep. It's because these people in Ephesus had a faith that was noised all over the world. They had grown in leaps and bounds, but look at what had happened. Paul came through Ephesus, and there was one thing that even in Ephesus they were missing. It says they came to a certain disciples. He found disciples. So that means that he found people that had heard the gospel, that had believed. Verse 2, it says, he said unto them, have you received what? The Holy Ghost since you believe. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, let's not mistake this, because it's a very popular doctrine in some circles that that's the evidence of you being saved. That somebody lay hands on you, and now all of a sudden you're speaking in tongues. That's not what he's saying right here, okay? So let's not twist this all up. The issue here is that Paul came across some people who had been baptized, who had turned from their sins. He said, the repentance. But they didn't know nothing about this transforming power of the Holy Ghost. And he said, y'all missing something here. And the church at Ephesus is known unto this day. And so think about it. We're talking about transforming. We're talking about going from who you are, what you are, where you are right now to something that's completely different. And I am presenting to you today that that's not going to happen by any other means than by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. He's going to teach you. He's going to take you. He's going to give you words. It says, you look in the New Testament. It talks about that the Holy Ghost came upon them. They were changed. All these things happened by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Some translations today translate that to the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, it's the same Spirit that comes from God above. And so, even though it's overlooked, he works regardless. He continues to work. But how much more could the Holy Spirit work if we lay everything on him? If we started to trust in the Holy Ghost in our marriages, in the Holy Ghost in our ministry, in the Holy Ghost for our businesses, in the Holy Ghost on our jobs, raising our children, struggling through high school, no matter where it is you are in your life, working with your kids, working with your parents, working with family, working with the police, working as a lawyer, wherever you are, how much more could the Holy Spirit work if we walked into every situation saying, I need the Holy Spirit to guide me. I need the power of the Holy Spirit in my heart. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to work with this rage, with this spirit of vindication I got going on me, with this anger, with this lust. I need the power of the Holy Spirit to make me what I cannot be. How much more if we, rather than just deal specifically like these disciples did in Acts on the repentance, I'm just going to turn from my sin, but we turn from my sin and say, and I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit. Because that's what they did, essentially. They turned from their sin, but we know there's a lot of people that didn't turn from sin and ended up right back. Right back in the same old mess, because they were just trying to muscle and intellectualize themselves into a life that only the Holy Spirit can produce. I want to completely destroy your hope in your flesh. I want to completely destroy your hope in what your mind can produce, and what your will can produce, and what good preaching can produce, and what good Bible studies can produce, and what all this other stuff can produce. I want to destroy your hope in that and say, you know what? This is going to come by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why Jesus came and he said, I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. The promise of my Father. The promise of the Spirit. The Egyptians wanted it. They thought it was just bury themselves in gold, and that's how they would get it. And how much blood has been shed to become like the gods? The world didn't know that they needed the Holy Ghost. And so, what is this all rooted in? So it's like we all coming together right now in what's called the situation room. All right, we're in the situation room. We got the situation. We saved, but we don't know who we're going to be. And we don't know how to get to become. I mean, I know something's burning in my heart telling me I'm not who I'm supposed to be right now. Something in my heart is telling me that something down the road is going to be drastically different by the power of God. But I can't figure out for the life of me how I'm going to get there. How do I become this different thing? I feel like something is supposed to be different. I feel like something is supposed to feel different. I feel like I'm supposed to respond differently, but I can't figure out how to get there. And so we're in a situation room, and we all got this big old identity crisis. And we understand we want to live our lives going in the direction that God wants us to go in, and that our lives turn out according to his will. And I mean, because we know that when you don't know who you are, you're subject to end up being anybody. If you don't know who you are, you don't know whose you are, you can end up being anybody and belong to anybody. I mean, because if you ain't in the right relationship, you end up being in the wrong one. Amen. And how many of us have suffered from that? And I tell you, at the heart of it is Satan that says, in whom the world, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who didn't believe and of those that did believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And then they can see over the horizon. And I mean, you can take the time and you can say, you know what, I need to really think about this identity crisis. And I need to think about whether I describe my own self more based on who the scripture says I am, or based on my own experiences. Because it says that we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So are you looking at yourself based on your experiences, based on your capacity, based on your strength, based on your failing, based on all this other stuff? Or are you looking at yourself beholding the glory of the Lord? So we have this situation where we're born again, right? But I want to give you the scenario going back to the story of Lazarus. Lazarus comes out the grave. He's alive, bound up. Jesus speaks the word, says, loose him and let him go. The bondage is gone. But how many of y'all ever been wrapped up for more than a day or two with an ace bandage? Anybody? Y'all ever been wrapped up? When you take that ace bandage off, you kind of still see the imprint of the bandage, don't you? Kind of itching, right? You can almost see, if you depending on how tight you're wrapped, you can see the imprint. Now imagine if your whole life was that you were in bondage. It's hardly likely that you can walk out of that and still not have the remnants of where you came from, right? And this is what jams us up. Jesus has spoke the word and we alive from the dead. He spoke the word and said, loose him and let him go. And we are actually free men and women. But it's all those remnants of where we came from that's all in our head and got us all twisted up. And we're saying, but how do I change this? And I want to present to you, brothers and sisters, today the caterpillar. I've been looking at this thing, man. And the caterpillar, as all of us know, goes through an amazing transformation. I mean, it goes literally from crawling on the ground to flying in the air. Whoa! I mean, that flies right in the face of the evolutionists, right? I mean, because if the way they would explain it, it should take millions of years for that to happen. No, this happens in just a month or so. And it happens every year, all the time. Because of a powerful person that created it. And so I wanted to get some very relatable things that we could talk about this caterpillar that goes through a transformation. A caterpillar who's on the ground, crawling, going slow. Nothing seems to be moving. Everything, I just keep seeing the same scenery here. Not going anywhere. But over time, a process happens beyond its power, beyond its control, without its thought, and it ends up flying. Like, whoa, this is different. I like this. I'm in the air now. I can see where I used to be. And so here's some facts about a caterpillar. They only have one job. It's a caterpillar. Let's eat. That's it. That's all they're doing, is eating. They increase their body mass by as much as 1,000 times or more. And I found out that happens in just less than a month. Caterpillars stay in a safe, familiar area that they can both blend in and be nourished. So they can look like a twig. They can look like a leaf. But they stay there, they eat there, and that's kind of like they don't move out of that place until they are transformed. They eat what's toxic to their predators. I know a couple of brothers in here preach that right by itself. That's a sermon right there. They eat what's toxic to their predators. Now, I want to say this again. In this stage, that they're not going anywhere fast, that they probably have no conscience about what they will become, they eat what's toxic to their predators. Those are facts, and here are just a few of my own interesting observations. Y'all just bear with me here. Caterpillars don't look sad. I looked at a couple of them. They really don't have any expression on their face. They don't look sad that they're not going anywhere. They don't look sad that nothing's happening. They don't look sad that they're not butterflies. They don't look sad at all. They're just eating. They're just eating and being. Number two, caterpillars are never in a hurry. Caterpillars have six legs. I've never seen them up running. I've never seen that. They're never in a rush. They're just going slow. I've seen the little hunchback ones, but I've never seen them like running. Have you ever seen a caterpillar in a hurry? Caterpillars have brains, but they don't have intellect, which means they can't talk themselves out of flying. You'll get that one in a minute. A caterpillar will never talk itself out of flying and someday just end up because his weight multiplies by more than 1,000 times or more in less than a month, right? So if he talks himself out of flying and just stays a caterpillar in about 4 months, he'd probably be big as me and you, right? And if he could think and intellectualize, I can imagine that one day we'd probably get off the expressway, coming from work, come down off the exit ramp, and one of them standing there with a sign saying, "Help, I'm trying to become a butterfly." He thinking about it. He trying to figure out, how do I become a butterfly? Maybe I need some more money. Maybe I need a better job. If I had $1,400, I could probably become a butterfly. If I lived in a different place, if I had different friends, I could become this thing that flies. I prayed about it, but I still haven't heard God answer. So I need some help. And before you know it, he's big as the Sears Tower because he's too smart. He hasn't stopped leaning from his own understanding and just trusted in the Lord and let the process that God has started from the foundation of the world take its course. So which this brings us back to our situation room in the scripture. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass. With open face, that means I want to show you the miracle in this. The mask is gone. The blinders are gone. You can see clearly now. And sometimes seeing clearly means you can see the person you were. And the person you were can hang you up from really seeing the person that you are in Christ. I mean, because when we were in sin, we couldn't see that. We did. I mean, how many of y'all remember being in sin? Like, man, can't nobody tell me nothing. I know who I am. I know what I'm. I mean, I'm handling my business. Get you some. What you talking about, man? I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm just down on my luck a little bit right now. Nope. He says, beholding as in a glass, which means it's like looking in a mirror. Now, this is a very, very, and I want you to think about this. He says, we all, with the open face, I can now see who I am. He says, beholding as in a glass, like looking in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So it would be like you a woman and you saw Beyonce's hair or whoever, Carrie Underwood or something. And in the mirror, you know, you're doing yours, but you kind of see Carrie's hair. Or you see whoever's, you see her hair, or you see her, you know, the eyebrows is the big thing now. You know, look at them eyebrows. And so you in the mirror and you're looking at your face, but you can see somebody else's eyebrows. You can see somebody else's lip liner or whatever it is. Or you can see the way somebody else trimmed their beard and you're just trying to, you can see it. You're looking at your own self, but you can see how somebody else did this. He's saying, this is what we're doing. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So we're looking in a mirror, but at the same time, we're looking at this image of Christ. Now this is when it gets really close to home as to what we're talking about. What are we talking about here? We're talking about being transformed by the power of God. He says, we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory, this glory, to glory, his glory. How? I heard somebody slightly. By the Spirit of the Lord. The miraculous thing about this whole thing is, he's saying if you look in the mirror, if you would look at yourself and keep beholding yourself and the glory of Jesus Christ, it says the Spirit changes you. Some of us look in the mirror and we say, I am a mess. We look in the mirror and we say, I'm just not strong. We look in the mirror and we start to profess and decree and declare and believe all these things about our past, former, or present struggles instead of, I am a new creature through Jesus Christ. And just keep looking at Jesus. This is what James McCosh says. He says, whatever we look to with admiration and love, we are disposed willingly and sometimes almost involuntarily to imitate. We grow in likeness to him whom we love and admire. End quote. Think about it. You stayed the night with your cousins and you had a couple of friends over there and y'all laughed and ate Oreos and potato chips and French fries and pizza until you couldn't eat no more. And you laughed and you danced and you picked up the comb and you used it as a microphone, and y'all were singing songs and recording your farts and all of this kind of stuff. And y'all just had a ball all weekend long. You slept 2 hours. I mean, wherever y'all went, y'all were just together and it was so fun. And then you go home and you do this little thing and your mama say, "Where you get that from?" And you realize, I've been with some people I love, and now I'm imitating them. I've been with my buddies, and my buddies did this, and we had so much fun, and I admire my buddies, and I love my buddies, and man, now I look up, and I'm doing what my buddies do. This is what he says. He says, if you just keep looking at your buddy in heaven, if you keep admiring your buddy who is the king of all eternity, if you keep beholding your buddy who is clothed in majesty, who has overcome death and the grave, he said, you will start being just like him. But what do? We behold ourselves and wonder why we can't be no different. And then the enemy loves it. Yeah, you messed that up, didn't you? Yeah. And it's good to be repentant and remorseful. But you better not live there. Yeah, you messed that up. You know, that's kind of similar to the way you did last time. Let's think about this a little bit. He'll have a conversation with you. And it'll sound so spiritual. But guess who it'll be thinking about? Guess who you'll be beholding? You. You won't be thinking about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will be like, okay, enough of that. Let's go to the King. Let's look at his triumphant victory. Let's look at his march into Jerusalem. Let's look at him riding on an ass with children crying out saying, Hosanna in the highest. Let's look at him walking out of the grave. Let's look at him ascending into heaven. Let's look at him fulfilling all the promises. Let's look at Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He points you to Jesus. He doesn't make you behold yourself, because the Bible says we all beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed from glory, your glory, to his glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit is going to keep you looking at Jesus. One red flag when you got too much of an obsession on who you are and what you did and how you haven't become this and all you've done wrong, that ain't the Holy Ghost. Listen to what John McCosh goes on to say. He said, he does not convert or sanctify sinners against their will, but by making them a willing people in the day of his power. That means, I'm going to stop here. He says, by making them willing people in the day of his power. The day of his power for us is the day we believed and we were converted by the Spirit, and now the light is on. Now we're willing to serve God. Listen to what he says further. He says what he does in us, he does by us. It is when we are beholding the glory of the Lord Christ that the Spirit changes us into the same image from glory to glory. End quote. He just said the same thing. He only changes us in beholding Christ. So how do we behold? As we head down the other side of this, how do we behold Christ? Okay. I'll give you some simple, practical stuff. Number one, study. This is what 1 Peter 2, chapter 2 says. He says, as a newborn babe, this is the caterpillar, not moving too fast, crawling, maybe not crawling at all. Maybe you just still crying, you don't even have conscience of anything. He says, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Remember, caterpillars, side note, caterpillars eat a lot. Remember, they eat what's toxic to their enemy. I tell you what, if you got enough of that word in you, devil can't mess with you. He'll nibble on you. He probably get close. Mm-mm, that smell like the word. That boy got the word in him. I ain't messing with him. I can see that look in his eyes. He's ready to draw a sword on me. And he have to get slick with it. Come up creeping in the night or something. But you know he just can't come waltzing in your territory because you have eaten so much of what is toxic to him. So it's through study that you see the image that you are changing into. It's through study that you start seeing Jesus. You know, this actually drove the Pharisees crazy. Remember, they came and brought the woman. The woman was there, and she was washing her hair, crying over his feet and all of that stuff. The Pharisees couldn't stand the fact that you could be transformed by beholding Jesus. See, she had been with Jesus and beholding Jesus, and she had become a transformed woman. And now in gratitude and thanksgiving, she was bowed at his feet in tears, drying his feet with her hair. And they couldn't stand it. They said, you knew what manner of woman this was. See, they were stuck. They thought that it took repentance. Yeah, you just escaping to Jesus. Huh? Yep, I do too. I escaped to Jesus. Think of what you may, what you will. My refuge is in Jesus. So you will see the miraculous beholding through studying the scripture. Just like the serpent in the wilderness. There was a story where people were dying, literally, physically dying, bitten by snakes, like we are bitten by sin. The people were dying. And Moses raised up a serpent in the wilderness. He said, behold, if you would just look at this serpent, you guys will live. And miraculously, by just looking at a serpent, a brazen serpent, because God said do that, the people lived. And then Jesus came and said the same thing, that just the way Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever how are you going to see who Jesus is if you don't get in the word to see him both in Genesis and Revelation, to see him both as King, Savior, friend, healer? Where are you going to see that at if you're just looking at yourself? You got this idea about Jesus. You kind of know who he is, but you're only looking at you. You're never going to change. When you study the scripture, you'll see his profile. Because basically, you know, that's the word image. Because I know y'all are thinking about, Brother Aaron, are you saying that the scripture is saying, if I look in the mirror long enough at Jesus, that I'm going to start looking like him? Because I don't know if I want to look like, what did he look like? I kind of like my hair the way it is. You know, and I don't know if I want to be taller or shorter. Was he a short guy? I don't know. I don't know if I want to look. It's not that image. When it talks about his image, it's talking about his profile. And when you talk about a profile, you know, he has a profile that might be a little intimidating when you start talking about, you know, the person that overcame the devil, you know, and raised himself from the dead and sits. Oh, you talking about that image? No, we're talking about the temporal image. We're talking about the no fear image, the no doubt image, the clear vision image, the focused image, the living on mission image, the I ain't worried about what people say about me image, the I got power on earth to deal with these devils image, I got control over my body image, I know how to be in fellowship with people image, I can recognize who's for me and who's against me image, I know God is on my side image. You'll be changed into that image, who is clear thinking, powerful, sound mind, no fear, no doubt. I'm a roll in this race, and I'm going to win. So, God wants you to fly in the spirit on the wings of the wind. He says that in Isaiah 40. They that wait on the Lord, you'll fly. Go back to the butterfly. As we get ready to close, we go back to the butterfly and we talk about, okay, so what sense did all of that make? Well, the sense that it makes is there's a transformation that goes on in your life from where you are to who you're becoming. Now, you may be tempted to say right now, to ask the question, well, Lord, what station am I in right now? What am I in a cocoon? Where am I at in all of this? Remember, but caterpillars don't think. They just live. Stop worrying about where you are and start trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to get you where you need to be. Because if you keep worrying about where you are, you're going to slow down. You're going to stop doing the things that are just right before you. It's right there. Just do that. Stop worrying about what you're going to do in 3 weeks. I love the testimony that Andrew brought to us. It's just so powerful because he said a year ago, I had no idea. Isn't that right, Andrew? No idea. But he's in a much better place today. He's doing things he didn't think he would be doing. He's in ministry like he didn't expect. He's living a life that's great, that's energizer. He's in community. He has friends. He has leaders around him. Caterpillars don't think their way out of flying. I'm praying that you don't. I'm praying that you don't keep beholding yourself so long that you never change. I'm praying that you have finally realized, you know what? I need to just look at Jesus. That there is a divine and supernatural power that can take me from where I am, whether you feel like you buried in a hole or crawling along the way or stuck in a cocoon, that one day you're gonna fly and you're gonna do it in Jesus' name. You know, some of you guys feel like, you know what? I'm just too broken for all that, Aaron. You don't know my past, man. I done been through so much. I done messed up so much stuff. Ain't no way God can use me. I believe that he gonna save me and everything, but I'm just a crackpot. I'm gonna tell you a little story about a crackpot. This man had two pots. One of them was cracked and one of them was good. Two very nice vessels. He put a stick across his shoulder and he hung both of the pots and he carried them and went down to the well every day to get water. And every day he came back, and because one pot was cracked and one pot wasn't, by the time he got back to the people who needed the water, the cracked pot was half full. Half of the water had run out all the time. And he did that for years. And one day, just out of clear blue, the cracked pot decided that they wanted to kind of grieve over being a cracked pot. And just felt like they weren't as significant and as useful as the pot that seemed to be whole. And the owner of the pot stopped and said, you know, have you ever noticed something? Have you ever noticed that the path that we walk through, that it has flowers growing only on one side? Have you ever noticed that we bring those flowers into our village and other people pick those flowers up to beautify their homes and to bring joy into their house? That's all because you're a cracked pot. And the moral of the story is don't, it doesn't matter where you come from. Stop saying how God's supposed to use you. Stop looking at other people saying, well, I wish I wasn't a crackpot. I wish my past wasn't so. I wish I didn't come from where I came from. God will use you no matter where you came from. And he'll use you in his own special way. What you need to understand is there's something that's got to happen, and that is first, you got to trust in his power to make you that way. Don't hinder his power by trying to decide what you want to be or what you ought to be, or by just continually looking at yourself and even further comparing yourself to other people. You are wonderful and gloriously made. So I'm going to leave you with these two questions and just a little bit of directive. First of all, What could your life look like if you trusted in the transforming power of God with all your heart? I'll put it on there for you so you can take it with you and just ponder over it. What could your life look like if you stopped looking at yourself so much and started looking at Jesus more? If you stopped thinking that it was a process that you had control over and gave control to God, what could your life look like? And the second one is, how do I know I can trust? How do I know I can trust in this process? I'm going to give you a flip side of the whole thing. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scorners. So this is telling me that I could be walking and the counsel, the words of ungodly people can cause me to stop and end up standing in the way of sinners and eventually sitting in the midst of scorners. If that's the opposite effect, then that means that when the Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light, and you shall have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, shall cleanse you from all sins. How do you know you can trust in that? He didn't say, if you walk in the light, you will learn how to clean yourself up. It's still a process that you have no authority over. If you just keep walking, he will do the work. He said, the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. But what if you stop walking? You stop, nothing's going to happen. James McCarr said, he only changes as you behold. I want to leave you with this. Keep looking at Jesus. It is true that in beholding him, you are changed. May not all be in a moment, but trust me, you'll be changed. Amen.
Amen. And that is the truth. God will transform us by his power. I said before, it was just baffling to me how that would happen. And when I learned how to decree and believe and confess nothing but what the word said and to look at Jesus as my deliverer, I tell you what, today I am a completely transformed individual. What would my life be like if I trusted solely in the transforming power of God? I think you'd see some great and mighty miracles in your life, as so many of us have. Well, that's it for me this week. I'm Aaron Clark in for Spirit Truth Christian Church Ministries. You can check us out on the web. It's at spirittruthchristianchurch.net. You can listen to other messages, read articles. You can also like and follow us on Facebook, Spirit Truth Christian Church Ministries. We appreciate that. Hey, until next time, God bless you. Stay strong.